of everything we do. No, you're not free from the consequences of everything you do. So, you know, the colonists, what they wanted freedom from an oppressive king, really what it started. A lot of them came over here because they wanted freedom to worship. They didn't want to worship under the Church of England. That's in England that you had the Church of England, you had to worship there, and that was it. But you had freedom to come worship the way you wanted. They wanted that. But the reason that they really split, wanted to declare independence from England is because of King George had extreme taxes on them. He had tariffs in the news. There were heavy tariffs on things, goods coming out. And they didn't have any representation. In other words, they didn't have anybody over there talking to Parliament about what the needs were over here. So, you know, I got
the guy's
picture. Patrick Henry, I think, spoke about it, or maybe even Thomas Jefferson, but about taxation without representation. There wasn't any representation, so he spoke about that. And they wanted the freedom there. But and that's why they separated. They didn't think that was right. But then our government, we set up the government, how we were going to run presidents and representatives. I had the House of Burgess at first, and then it went to House of Representatives. We had that, but we passed laws. We set up governments. And now everybody, and the freedoms that we have are, we weren't free to do anything we want because of the chaos and anarchy that would be. But, you know, we had freedoms to make a living. We could pursue any pursuit of happiness. We could pursue any job that we desire, set our mind to. We could educate ourselves, earn a living for ourselves, our family. We could worship when, how we wanted to, according to the Word of God. I mean, you're not really worshiping if you're not going by the Word of God. But we could do that. And then I like this statement here that was made actually by a pope many years ago. He said, we have the right to do, or we are free to do as we ought to do, not what we want to do, you know. And that's really a true statement. We have freedom to do what we ought to do. And so, but there's other things. Listen, there's, you know, even if we could do, let's just say we could do anything we want to do. We are free to do anything we want to do. There's things that we wouldn't be free from. There's other laws. There's the law of gravity. There's nature's laws. There's the law of gravity, right? You may want to fly like a bird, but I guess what? You know, we can't flap our wings and, you know, get going. Another law of physics is the law of motion. For every action, there's a reaction. You can't get away from it. You know, there's those type things right there. So there's always restrictions, parameters of some kind of somehow, and also I'll talk about this in a minute in my points, but we can't get free from our conscience, really. Our conscience is always there. So in what I'm going to read to you, Romans 7, we'll really see some of the law. It speaks about the law of God and the law of sin. And it wasn't, the colonists never thought that they weren't going to need laws or they wouldn't need government. But the question came down to, whose law were they going to serve? Were they going to serve a law of a king that was in England and didn't know what was going on here? Or they were going to serve the government that they would set up that was living here and they would know? It was just, it wasn't that they wanted escape from law or government altogether. They just wanted representation. They wanted it to be fair, and it wasn't being fair. Now, you know, that's your history lesson for this morning. My deal in the spiritual things and the Word of God, you know, we have the same question in the spiritual sense. Whose law are you going to serve? You going to serve Satan? You going to serve God? And there's no middle ground. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm just going to be neutral. You know, I'm not really going to be a Christian, or I'm not going to serve God, but I'm not really going to go serve Satan. And probably not too many people in their right mind, although there are Satanists out there. Don't be naive about that. But most people say, well, I'm not going to serve Satan. Well, listen, if you're not serving God, you're already serving Satan, because it's Satan's will that you never get saved. And it's Satan's will that you don't serve God. It's Satan's will that you don't get in the Word of God, that you're not transformed by the power of God, that you just keep on going, just ignoring God. You're right. You're already playing into Satan's hands. And so that's the real question today, and that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. So the Apostle Paul, in the verses I'm giving you, and there's more to it than what I'm going to read you, but I'm reading you enough, he kind of gave a small autobiography of his Christian life, his spiritual life, and he was had to learn some things along the way, and so do we, and so did I, and to really go along with what he had to learn right there. So let me read some things to you. And when I get to one section, I'm going to paraphrase it. I'm going to read it to you, but I'm going to paraphrase it just a little bit so you'll make sense. I understand what he's saying, but if you're not really, you don't have your head in tune with the topic, you know, you could get kind of spinning around wondering what in the world he's talking about. So we see in Romans chapter 7, verse 7, Paul's writing this. He said, "What shall we say then?" This is due to what he's written before, but it doesn't pertain as much to what I want to tell you. "Is the law sin?" And then he says, "God forbid." In other words, he's saying no. "Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence," which that is lust. "For without the law, sin was dead." So in other words, what he's saying right there is, if it wasn't for the law, I wouldn't know what sin is. That's it. I'm going to boil it down as easy as I can, you know. If it wasn't for sin or for the law, I wouldn't know what sin is. And so the only reason I know that I have lust is the Bible said you shouldn't covet. And so he knew that. So he says that. He said, "For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came," in other words, when I realized what the law said, sin revived and I died. Huh? One time I was living without the law of God. I didn't know nothing about it. But now when the law came, once I realized what the law was, he said, man, sin revived. Now I really know what sin is. "And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death." So he found that to be because here's the commandment, and he couldn't keep the commandments, not all of them all the time, and he found out now the commandment's not giving me life, it's giving me death. "For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me?" And he's got a question mark. He said, "God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, worketh death in me, by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." So here's where I'm going to try to have to explain this to you as best I can, and it's not hard, but this is what Paul said. This is what he sees. He sees, in other words, he's about to tell you what it is, and every Christian has this. He's got a war going on in his life. It's his spirit and his flesh. Amen. And he's trying to live by the spirit, by the law, but he can't do it. And this is a thing, it took me years to learn this. And I struggled, and I'll bring it out in preaching. But he said, "For that which I do, I allow not." In other words, he said, what I'm doing, I know I shouldn't do it, but I do it. And he said, For what I would, that I do not. In other words, what I know I should do, I'm not doing that. So I'm doing what I shouldn't do, and I know it. And I'm not doing what I should do, because I know what I should do. I'm not doing that. He said, but what I hate, that I do. And he's frustrated. And he said, then I do that which I would not, what I shouldn't do. I consent unto the law that is good. Sure. How do you know you shouldn't do it? Because the law says you shouldn't do it. So he's saying the law is good. It's telling me that. And I feel like I shouldn't do it, conscience. But I do it. Y'all relating to this, right? Yeah, you relate? And then he says, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will, the will to do good, is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find out. I'm not finding how to do it. I know I got a will to do good, but I don't do it. Not all the time. He's not saying he never did anything good, but he's just saying, you know, the battle. And then he says, for the good that I would do. This really the sentence that sums up everything he said. For the good that I would do, for the good that I would, I do not. The good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not, or you could put would not do, that I do. We can relate. Now, if I do that, I would not. Is it no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me? It is no more I that do it, sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And then look what he says in verse 24. This is a frustrated man. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the law, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Huh? This is it. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. I pray now as we look to these few points that we'll be encouraged here, hopefully learn some things and that will help us along the way. It's always, as always, we're praying for those, anyone here that may be lost or not sure about their salvation. Boy, what a day to be saved and be set free, Lord, from that power of sin. And we're thankful that you're still in the saving business, and we'll put it into your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So just, I think, 3 points like that, main ones. Number one, freedom from the law. God gave the Hebrews the law in the Old Testament. We see the Old Testament, and it's really, it lays the groundwork for all that God expects. Even it's in, it's intermingled, intertwined into the New Testament as well. We didn't get rid of the law in that sense. So what God does want? God wants us to be righteous, which means he wants us to be good. He wants goodness, good for us. He wants us to do what's right. I think our parents, if you had good parents, they raised you up. They wanted you to do right, right? That's what they just wanted you to do right. Don't do this, don't do that, say this, do that, learn all the manners, all the things you're supposed to learn. Parents wanted that. And our parents had, my parents had, I don't know about parents today, but my parents, I had rules and regulations. I had certain parameters. You got to be in by such and such time. Can't go over. Even kids. No, I don't want you playing with that kid no more. Don't hang around them, and this and that. We had things we had to do. And so our parents wanted that. Well, we had the law. God gave us the law, and we see it in the Old Testament. It filters over in the New Testament. We got 10 commandments of God, the basic laws right there, and our parents raise us up with laws. But let me ask you something. How's that working out in controlling your life? Huh? Well, back when I was a kid, it controlled, as long as I didn't get caught, it controlled pretty good. I mean, I had to do what I could. Did y'all break any of them laws that your parents set out? Huh? Come on, I know some of y'all's parents. I'm going to tell them all about it. Go ahead and raise your hand and fess up. Huh? We did, right? We knew that. All right? And so the law, what Paul's really saying there, part of what he's saying, the law didn't have any power to keep me from breaking it. It didn't have any power there. It was spelled out in plain sight. And so what happened was the law really became a burden. He said, before I knew the law, I didn't really know what sin was. I didn't know sin. I think I used last week or week before, like the speed limit laws. In some places, Autobahn, Autostrada, they don't have any speed limit. And so you can't break the law of speeding, because there's no law. But as soon as they stick a sign up, you can. So what happened? Now it's a burden. Now what? Now you're driving down the road. Well, man, there's a speed limit. Boy, I want to go fast. If I just go 2 or 3 or 4 miles over the speed limit, I won't get a ticket. Look, maybe I can go 5 or 6 miles over the speed limit. And you can here, too. I mean, Paul, he's the state police. He'd probably tell you there's a line there. But I guarantee if you get 10 over, they're going to get you. Huh? They're going to get you. There's a line. So we push it, we push it. But it's a burden because we're always watching, oh, no, am I going too fast? There's a radar. Oh, my gosh, man, now it's a burden. If you don't have the law, you don't have that burden. But now we got the law. We've got a burden on us. And we say, okay, God's got some parameters. God's got some things. And then we have the conscience. Like I said, no matter how, it doesn't matter how free that we could be made by with or without the law, God put a conscience in us. And now you can't get away from it. You cannot escape it. no matter what the law says. The matter of fact, there's groups of people, and you know, in this country, we have legalized things that God says is an abomination. God says it's sin. And all those groups of people are happy because they think, oh yeah, now it's legal and all that. But they keep wanting more. You know why they want more? Because they're not satisfied with the law. Because their conscience is still killing them. It's wearing them out. And they're thinking, well, how do I rid myself of this? I have to have more acceptance from society and then my conscience will be clear. No, it won't. It will never be clear because you're breaking God's law. We can't be free from conscience. Only now Christ can set you free from that too, and I'll get to it at the end. So we got problems. The law is good. The problem with the law, it's holy, it's good. There's no problem there. But the law cannot change your heart. Amen. The law will not change your heart. We understand that. And the law doesn't enable you, it doesn't give you any power to obey it. And so it doesn't set you free. It doesn't set you free. James 2:10 says, whoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. He's guilty of everything. Now, you know, like a lot of us, hopefully none of you are murderers in the physical sense, although you may hate somebody. And the Bible says if you hate somebody, it's the same as being a murderer. Okay. And so, but there's laws that, yeah, there's, you know, we don't break all the laws. And there's some of the laws we may never break, but we don't keep all the law all the time. If you break one, it says you're just as guilty as if you've broken them all. Remember that rich young ruler that Jesus talked to in the Bible? And the rich young ruler came to him. He said, Master, good master, he called him. Good master, he said, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, well, you know the law. Keep the law, basically. I'm paraphrasing. Keep the law. He said, well, I've done that, boy. I've honored my father and mother, and I've done this. And, you know, if I owed anybody money, he went off a whole list of things. Jesus said, great. He said, now, he was a rich young ruler. He was rich. Jesus said, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And the man, he walked away sorrowful. Now, was Jesus saying, oh, hey, to get to heaven, you got to sell everything you have and you give all your money? That's not what he's saying. Salvation is not for sale. What it was Jesus knew that this man had a covetousness problem. He had, you know, he wanted things. He wanted money. He knew it. And he said, so he said, you're telling me that you've obeyed all the law. What about that law that says, thou shalt not covet? Let me see how that goes with you. So he laid that on him and he walked away sorrowful. He'd been bragging about how he hadn't. Well, he might have kept all those laws. I think he was telling the truth. I don't think he was lying to Jesus. I think he had kept them best he could. Maybe, you know, kept those other things that he said. But the covetous thing got him, that one law. And he walked away sorrowful, walked away from Jesus because, you know, he knew that he hadn't done that. So you're not going to see. So in other words, and basically really what Jesus is saying, listen, by keeping the law, you're not going to be justified. One, because you don't keep it all the time, all the laws all the time. You just don't do it, what he said. So, but that becomes a burden. We're not free because it weighs us down. So the law really is designed to just show us that we are sinners. How do you know you're breaking the speed limit? You see the sign, right? That's how you know. If you don't have a sign, you're not breaking it, okay? So the law just says, hey, you're sinners. And the law is condemning us to death. It's condemning us to death. And this is what Paul's talking about in 7 through 14. He talked about that. The second thing is the freedom from self. Here's another area. The person that we get most frustrated with in life is our own self, even though you may get frustrated at other people, but our own self. And that's what Paul was saying, 15 through 24. He said, man, I want to do good, and I don't. I don't want to do bad, and I do. That's basically what all that is. It just summed it up right there. He said, that's what I want to do. He goes, man, alive. And he goes, and he's got this internal battle going on. I know I shouldn't. I got conscience. I got law. I know I shouldn't. Do it, and I do. I know I should do this, and I don't. Crying out loud, I'm doing the opposite. My whole early Christian life was such a frustrating. And what he's saying is, he said, who's going to deliver me from the body of death? Well, the law didn't deliver him. He had the law. Okay, just go ahead and obey it. Well, I can't. And that's us. We can't. We know what it is. I'm not saying you never obey any of them, like I said a minute ago, but we just can't. We can't. And so we got this war going on, and it's a frustrating thing. He said, to will. I got it in my mind. How many of us sometimes we just want to do right, and we didn't do it? Huh? And I remember in my Christian life, and Paul's trying to do it in his flesh. He's trying to be righteous by, what he's saying is, I'm struggling to be righteous in my own strength because I have the law. And he was failing. And that's a frustrating thing. And how, and I remember in my early Christian life, that was it. I always failed all the time. I always failed. And I was so aggravated with myself. And I was frustrated with it. It took me years. I finally realized, you know what? You just got to surrender to Christ. You're never going to get it done in the flesh. You're not going to. Even as a Christian, you'll never get it done. And I was, it's always just, it's a frustrating thing when you fail all the time, isn't it? Huh? It's just a frustrating thing. If you're ever trying to make something or put something together, how about trying to just thread a needle now that you can't see, huh? And you just give up. You just give up because you can't, you know, you can't do it. It's, and he was overcome. And so if we try to, and like Paul, if we try to overcome the old nature with the law, we're going to fail every single time. Every single time. And that's a frustrating thing. And that's why he said in verse 24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" The Greek word there for wretched means someone who is exhausted after a battle. Well, buddy, I'm telling you what, that is your Christian life, or that is your natural life. If you're just trying to be a Christian without Christ, you are wore slam out. Amen. You can't do it. You're just too tired. And there's nothing more wretched than exerting all your energy trying to live a good life only to find out that your best is still a failure. The best you could do was a failure until you just surrender to Christ. And that's what Paul. So apart from Christ, we're slaves to sin and we are slaves to ourself. And that guy that you look at in the morning, every morning in the mirror, that's the guy right there, man. You'll lie to that guy or he'll lie to you. And he's a wretched man. He's a wretched man. Amen. Can't get away from him. You can't get away from that guy. You can't get away from him. You're not free from him. You're not free from him apart from Christ, right? So we don't win this freedom that Paul's talking about by fighting. We win it by surrender, waving the flag. I just, Lord, here it is. I can't do it. I can't get the victory over nothing. I can't. You've got to do it. Took a long time to learn that. Huh? Being a pastor helped out a lot. Yeah, because there's times I'm saying, Lord, I got this problem and this problem, this problem, and I can't do anything about it. Here it is. It's your church. I've told this to God. I wasn't being a smart aleck. I was just being honest. I said, God, it's your church. You got to fix it. I can't do it. I can't do it. Most of the time he fixes it. So we have to surrender. And Paul said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Surrender to him. He fulfilled the law for us and he got the victory over the flesh, over sin, over the devil. He got all that at the cross. Now we don't have to, after salvation, we don't have to serve the law of sin. We don't have to serve that law. We serve the law of the Spirit, you know, the law of Christ. We've got a crucified and resurrected life within us. We can serve the law of God because of that. With the mind, the inward man, we can serve God. And the Bible says, listen, about the flesh, there's nothing in the Bible good about the flesh. There's nothing said good about it. No good. No good thing. And the flesh will never serve the law of God. It just won't. And self will not cast self out either. But the Spirit, as we surrender to him, then we have, in the Spirit, we have the power to obey God's will. Now we have it. And it's not really based on the law either. I don't need a law. This is what it's really saying. I don't need a law. I have the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God's not going to lead me the wrong way. See, right now, if we didn't know any of the laws of God, even though we should, the Bible tells us to study, show ourselves approved unto God, a workman who need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. We know that. But if I didn't have it, and I have the Holy Spirit of God leading me, and I'm following the leading of the Holy Spirit, how many wrong things am I going to do? None, right? God's going to lead me. Man, that's the freedom from the law right there. Now it's a whole new motivating thing. You're living a reality of Christ in your life and everything. It's not like, hey, I got to get the book out and make sure I'm not supposed to do this. No, you got the Holy Spirit, man, leading you all along the way. And then we have freedom from condemnation. This is the last thing, which is a result of all that. We are free. What he said, you know, look what he said in verse 8, in chapter 8, verse 1. Now there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. He who hath the Son hath life, and he who hath not the Son hath not life. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, if you have Christ and you walk after the flesh, you're still going to do wrong, and you're not going. There will be a condemnation. It'll be from the conscience side of things, not a permanent condemnation of judgment. But for the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. It doesn't say, hey, no mistakes. It doesn't say there won't be any failures. It says there's going to be no condemnation. Huh? That's what God's looking for. Free from the law of sin and death. The law can't claim you. The law can't condemn you. Why? Because Jesus already suffered the condemnation on the cross for you. That's what he was doing on the cross. He suffered that condemnation. God poured his wrath out on his own Son for you and our sin. That's powerful. It's love. It's still powerful. He suffered that condemnation for you. That's why there's no condemnation given to us. The law couldn't save us. It only condemns us. And Jesus is the one that saves us. And then the law can't control you. Now it's the Holy Spirit. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. God's law is fulfilled in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And now I'm telling you what, this is real freedom now. Huh? You don't have that cloud. That cloud of condemnation, that constant failure, because if you tried to live by the law or tried to be saved by, you know, even really, I can simplify this. If you could live a perfect sinless life, you'd still die and go to hell, because the Bible says, "He who hath the Son hath life, and he who hath not the Son hath not life." And so this is a hypothetical, but if you lived a perfect sinless life and didn't have the Son somehow, if you could do that and you can't, you still have to have the Son. So the law is not going to work no matter what. You have to have Christ. Jesus told Nicodemus, a religious man, a Pharisee, the top of the religious order, this guy knew the law up one side, down the other. He said, "You must be born again. A spiritual birth." He didn't even understand it. He said, "How can a man be born again, enter his womb a second time?" He said, I'm paraphrasing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a spiritual birth. You must be born again. Huh? You could keep the law till doomsday. You got to have Christ. You got to have Christ. You can't keep it, but if you could, you have to have Christ. Boy, that is freedom right there. Freedom, body, soul, spirit, set free from the burden, the battle, the guilt of sin. Huh? That's a great thing. Huh? I'm telling you, man, it is so great to know and feel that and just surrender it all to God and say, "Hey, I don't have to do it. One more thing we got to put on our plate. We got to do this. All you have to do is..." Listen, surrender's easy. Fighting is hard. Having a war with the spirit and the flesh is a hard thing. But boy, waving the white flag and say, "Hey, look, I'm laying it down. I'm just take me." That's why I never understood why in the old Baptist meetings they had them have them handkerchiefs going. That's what they were signifying, surrender, a white flag. I'm surrendering myself to Christ. And boy, then that battle's done, man. Now we have eternal life and no condemnation. We have no fear of, you know, I mean, I don't want to die some painful way. Death is kind of scary in the sense, you know, you'd only experience it once, so you can't. You know, go back, the unknown always gives us a little doubt. But I'll tell you what, I know where I'll be. Be eternal. And that takes a burden off of it, boy. It's a burden off of life and death as well. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's all stand with our heads bowed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for dying for us, Lord, and paying that penalty, paying that sin debt off for us and setting us free from that penalty. We're thankful for that. I pray for each one here. Maybe somebody that's not sure about salvation. Lord, what a day to get saved right here after the 4th of July. Freedom for our nation, boy, and freedom for for our life. I mean, what a great time. We're thankful that you love us, Lord. We know you do, and you want the best for us, and you want us to have eternal life, and you want to forgive us, Lord. If we just come and ask you, Lord, ask you for that forgiveness. I pray for that today for each one here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.